Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world. Another time. In the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm going to have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Welcome to Neverland!
Hello, tick your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders, and sprinkle, of course, some of that pixie dust around and get it around some other people. Grab that happiest thought, grab the other people around you, and all have happy thoughts. We're all flying to Neverland today because we need to go to Neverland, and we're not flying alone because...
Eric Warren. Eric Warren.
You're back!
I'm back, and my arms are tired.
Yeah, you flew all the way back from Liverpool. My goodness.
Oh, I'll tell you. Along with a diversion or two. But I'm back.
Diversion or two, so, all right, Dish, what do you got about Liverpool? I mean, the whole trip.
Oh, well, you know, I was actually asked to head over to Liverpool for a week for a job-related function, and got to spend some time wandering the streets there, got to see where the Beatles first performed, and really just enjoyed my time in that city. I can't wait to go back and hope I've got the opportunity. I did get to meet our fellow podcaster, Michelle Young, from the Disney Dream Girls podcast. I've met her a few times before, Friends of the Magic in Disneyland. It was my turn now to go over to her homeland and meet with her for a bit. Coming back, my flight had to divert into Bangor, Maine, where we had a fuel issue to take care of. And then, unfortunately, that caused me to miss my connecting flight in Chicago. So I got to spend a night at the airline's expense in that city. And so I got to set foot in a new state for me in Illinois. So that was exciting in and of itself.
Yeah. Did you get to see anything interesting in Illinois?
I got to see O'Hare Airport and how the train there works.
Ooh. I was in O'Hare once before. I don't know if the train thing was fully functioning. It was under construction when I was there on my way back from Disney World. But I've been to O'Hare in Chicago. This is definitely a time that I want to let y'all know, hey, that Patreon support that you've been thinking about going and with, you know, this is definitely a good time to help it out with Patreon. All this comes out of my own pocket, and things are kind of rough. I'm a college student that's trying to work part-time, and sometimes the money ain't always there when I need it. If you've ever thought of lending support in some Patreon or buying some shirts, this would be a wonderful time to do it. You can really help keep this going, because I've been struggling this weekend, and also I am slowly moving some more of the podcast over to more of a Patreon level of, if you want to hear some of the old shows or some of the special things we've got. I mean, I've got a lot of, speaking of conventions, I've got a lot of panels I have not yet ever played the audio, and I might make that exclusive to the Patreon supporters. I don't know. I haven't decided what I want to do with that, but, you know, we do appreciate those that do support us, and we just encourage you, if you've been thinking about wanting to support us and everything, we would much appreciate it, because it's getting a little tough out there. So especially around Christmas time. This is what it gets kind of rough when you get to the end of the year. But you know what? Another year from now, I will graduate with my degree and I will have an awesome job as soon as I get out, I hope.
Oh, you will. You will.
That is the plan. I'm getting better at this all the time and gaining new listeners. You know, that's the one thing that's been fun about Uber is I get to talk about, you know, doing what I do, and I find other Disney fans. And so I've been able to meet people, and people have decided, oh, well, cool, I'm going to check out the show. And so I know we've grown a lot just from me doing Uber, because I pick up people from the airport and talk about things. So I've gotten people all over the country that I've gotten to meet with. But I didn't manage to go to the convention, so I'm not going to have any audio from the Kansas City Comic-Con, unfortunately, but we still have plenty of fun stuff going on around here.
Definitely.
My goodness, I feel like I was playing catch up still when I was all the things that was going on this week within the world of Disney. It's like I was falling behind or something still again, you know, from having not done anything in October. We hit in November and there's so much stuff that I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, how am I going to cover all this? But, you know, the way we're going to cover it is we're just going to dive into it.
And away we go.
Oh, yes.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
And this was almost, I didn't know where to begin with all the things going on this week, so I was just grabbing everything and putting it on there and putting it on there and putting it on there. But where I'd like to start, in honor of Veterans Day yesterday, this is actually from the Disney Parks blog. It started out as 40 military care packages, and there was a small team at the Walt Disney Travel Company, and it ended up in this big office-wide thing, and it's reached more than 10,000 troops overseas. So I guess they've been doing this biannually. They just put together these care packages, and this, you know, a lot of things, just a little taste to home sometimes when you send this over to military friends and military families. Well, not actually family, but you know, those overseas, and it's like beef jerky, granola bars, some leftover candy from the Mickey's Halloween party, some personal care items, some Disney related luggage tags, Mickey Mouse lapel pins, you know, just a lot of just fun stuff, postcards, and I'm sure everybody overseas serving the military just likes hearing from home, but also then hearing from the Disney company has got to be special. So,
Oh, definitely. And, you know, of course, every package includes a handwritten message on a postcard for whoever's receiving it. So, you know, really, this program had its origins with those 40 military care packages. And I know one of the organizers this year, Ivy, she was actually motivated by her stepfather, Bob, who himself had served three tours in Vietnam and retired from the Marine Corps as a master gunnery sergeant after 23 years of service. And, you know, Ivy, who's put this together, she says, "With every postcard I write, I think of the brave servicemen and women who may read it and thank them for their strength of character and their sense of duty. In my heart, I say a prayer that they will make it home to their loved ones as well."
Yeah, so, this has been going on biannually, and yet I had no idea that this had been going on all this time. So I'm really glad that they reported on it, because this would have been left, you know, unsung that they were doing this great thing. So very, very cool. I really got a kick out of that. Something else that would have kind of slipped by most of us radar. I happened to see this on LinkedIn because on LinkedIn, I've actually went through and linked myself with some people who work within the Disney company, because they usually post a lot of things like that. So I get an idea of what's going on, and who knows, I might find some of these, you know, higher up type people that might be willing to come on the show. But I have a feeling, you know, Disney keeps its secrets, so I don't know how far up the chain I could possibly reach, but I've had that in my head. It's like, you know, I could probably invite some of these people, although they don't really know me, but, you know, and you know, there's no better way to get to know me than to come on the show, right?
Right.
So I have that excuse. But anyway, somebody had posted this up. Now, this guy has already retired. His name is Wing T. Chow. He worked for the Disney company for 37 years from 1972 as a master planner, architect, and a designer. And he is receiving a Pioneer Award from the International Society of Hospitality Consultants for, of course, his services in entertainment design. I got this article from a website called AM2, which is about attraction management. So I'm I'm going to have to keep an eye on this. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more things to look at. I mean, they've got some links over here for the Pixar Pier confirmed to open in 2018 that we already know about. Also, back in October, I guess there was a look at Disney Springs and NBA Experience, which I'm pretty sure we talked about. I think we mentioned that. But this was really, really cool. But he worked there for 37 years, and he's going to receive this award actually the 24th of January, 2018, at the America's Lodging Investment Summit at the JW Marriott and Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles.
Not a problem. I mean, he really has quite a history with Disney, and his projects included Disney theme parks, over 100,000 new and improved resort rooms, 200 restaurants, 4 million square feet of retail space, 3 million square feet of entertainment venues, 4 million square feet of office building, 2 million square feet of mixed-use development, sports complex, several convention exhibition centers at Disney resorts. And these are resorts in California, Florida, Tokyo, Paris, and Hong Kong.
So basically every resort.
Pretty much. He also directed the design for the first two Disney cruise ships. And just before his retirement, he was overseeing $4 billion worth of Disney resort expansion projects domestically and internationally, as well as the resort Aliwani in Hawaii, and two new cruise ships at the time, which are now known as the Dream and the Fantasy.
So very, very cool. I wonder, though, with his retirement, did he retire completely? I mean, 37 years is a long working career anyway. But I wonder.
You can always ask Floyd Norman if one right. ever retires completely.
Because I wonder, you know, he could have gone on and start doing some other work in other places, but I didn't see anything in this article that said anything about it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Eric, what is your favorite Toy Story character? Or who is, rather, I suppose, is the question.
Oh, that is a very good question. I am going to go with... You got me on the spot here.
It's called a segue.
Quite honestly, I have way too many Toy Story favorites.
But Jesse and Rex could be counted amongst the favorites. We love those, right?
Oh, certainly, certainly.
Well, this is pretty. This is a short little blurb that I found on the Disney Parks blog, and they actually do have a video out on their YouTube channel. But they have a Jesse and Rex that being installed actually in Toy Story Land in the Disney's Hollywood Studios. That happened earlier this week, and they are apparently helping Andy build a roller coaster with this mega coaster play kit. Now, this is a roller coaster we've been talking about for a long time, and this is the one that has the Slinky Dog car that's going to go around, and we. I haven't looked at the video, but just the picture that they show, I mean, this is really neat because it's got, you know, Rex has kind of got some cables he's tied up in and Jesse's doing some things. But you can see around the roller coaster, there's like Jenga blocks and all kinds of different blocks all stacked up. This looks really cool.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's, you know, I know a lot of people are looking forward to this particular attraction coming through. And now to see these characters in full scale, you know, just adds to the entire experience.
Yeah, full scale when you're the size of a toy, at least, because that's the idea.
They're even bigger than our scale, so.
Yeah, because I think Jesse might be twice the size of a human.
At the least.
All right, I'm going to hit play on this video so you're going to hear a little bit of audio, because I wonder if maybe we'll see a picture of a human next to Jesse. I want to know how big that is. But knowing these videos, it's all going to be audio, but we'll take a look here. There they are putting Rex up on top. It's in fast motion. Yeah, actually, Rex looks pretty good scale to the workers. It's about the same height overall. Of course, he's bent down. Because really, the illusion of this part of the park is supposed to be that you are a toy.
There you can see the workers.
Yeah, there's the workers with Jesse. Wow, she's like three times the size of the workers, though. Woo! Maybe when you're there, you're supposed to be like a Lego toy. These people look like minifigs. Well, that's still really exciting. So I definitely something that I want to check out. That looks really cool. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, there is something going on that I don't necessarily want to check out, but I feel I'm going to have to.
I feel like I brought the show down earlier. Now we're about to punch it in the gut.
Mm-hmm. Now, we do know, and we discussed, back in June that Pirates of the Caribbean is going to be undergoing an overhaul at both parks here in the U.S. And we now know
when that change is going to take place at Walt Disney World. According to the operating hours for Pirates of the Caribbean there, it will be closed starting on February 26th of 2018 and will remain closed for refurbishment through March 18th with a tentative reopening date of March 19th.
And this, of course, is because somebody thought the auction of women was offensive, and somehow or another people who maybe were into human trafficking would be, or like it was going to encourage human trafficking or something. I mean, these are pirates. If going through this made you want to become a pirate, there's something wrong with you. The only thing that might encourage piracy now is Jack Sparrow and then the movies and stuff like that, but really, going through the ride, it was kind of making fun of pirates. That was the intention. And really, a major scene here with the redhead in the auction. They're just changing it all around, and this is going to lose the Paul Frees thing, all of his nice narration as the auctioneer. I don't know. I mean, granted, I've seen what they did in Paris, and it does look cool, but you don't take something this iconic and mess with it that much. I mean, I'm already sad enough that when I first rode Pirates of the Caribbean, it had been altered so much with Jack Sparrow thrown in way too many times. One time putting him in there, I think, would have been fine, but it became the Jack Sparrow ride. And that was, you know, I was a little disappointed. I wanted to see how its original form was. But, I mean, it's at least it still stayed somewhat true to form. This is a complete change of the entire, one of the goofy jokes of the entire ride. Just because somebody was afraid somebody might be offended. And I mean, some of the comments when I posted this article up, even on our Facebook fan page, which, by the way, you can go ahead and like us at Facebook. We also have a group that you can join in. But somebody basically cursed anyone who would be an SJW. And if you don't know what SJW is, that is called a social justice warrior. And these are people kind of get upset with that. They're so worried about somebody being offended that they're putting a politically correct marker across everything that could possibly be offended. In fact, even while researching something for a Chippendale thing that I thought was going to be a big deal, it's really not that big a deal. I even found a website that called Chippendale Rescue Rangers a racist show. This is the world we live in today. Everything's offensive, and this is the result of it, is now that Disney's going to change this, which, it is in some way adding something, and I love it when they shut something down and they add something, but to take something away because somebody may be offended, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop.
Well, we do not yet have a date for when this will take place at Disneyland, so there still is time to see it as it, as it currently is appearing at Disneyland. If you want to, try and put together a trip to go out there.
Yep, go see it before they change it. And I mean, I don't. It's not overall ruining the ride, but it's just the reasoning behind the change is just so silly. And this is such a beloved scene that I just can't imagine what in the world possessed somebody to think this is going to be a well-received idea. I haven't found that much support for it. One thing that is interesting is, this is from the Inquisitor, and I don't know if they always have their dates right. I found this from different sites popping this up, but I haven't seen anything directly from Disney's site about the closing. And there's another thing where I come up later from the Inquisitor website that I don't know if they've got everything correct, and I will address that when we get there. So the dates might not be perfect on there. But like I said, I haven't heard it directly from Disney. We were kind of expecting this change is going to happen. I don't doubt that this is actually happening, but I'm not 100% behind the dates because there's some other dates that they have wrong on an upcoming story we're going to talk about. So be advised, it may happen sooner than you think. Oh, in fact, it's the very next story. And I've got this. I pulled this from Inquisitor, and they had a link over to a Disney site that actually had something different listed. And so that's why I have my doubts. But Splash Mountain is supposed to be, well, I guess it's currently down. It shut down on August 28th in Walt Disney World, and it's set to actually open on November 17th, which that's the end of this week, I believe. Right. But Inquisitor says that there's a closure happening on January 8th until February 2nd for the Splash Mountain and Walt Disney World. But the link they have that says it's from Walt Disney World, when I went over there, it only mentions that it's closed until mid-November. It doesn't say anything about it closing down again in January. So I don't know that there's any fact to what Inquisitor... I don't know where their sources are. So, you know, I like to treat it as also a potential doubt of the redhead going away, except for, you know, because I've seen it in multiple places where people talk about the redhead is going away here in February, but I haven't seen it on any of Disney's websites. I've only seen it like Inside the Magic is Inside the Magic's pretty reliable, but they may have reported on having seen it somewhere else. All this seems to be chain of hearsay that this is, you know, in February with it, this is going down, but you know, one of the sites that had the information is the Inquisitor, and they are talking about Splash Mountain going down in January, and I cannot corroborate this anywhere else. It may be true, it may not be true, I don't know. And I really hate to report rumors, but I don't know if this is a rumor or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, at least we know that Splash Mountain will be open for the holiday season
right.
at Disney World. So, you know, and I really am not surprised if Disney did have the closed ride for, or the ride closed for an extended refurbishment, got it to a point where it could go back to accommodating guests, and then close it down again to complete the remainder of the refurbishment items that need to be taken care of. You know, at the end of the day, as long as the ride's back up and working and fully functional after all of the closures, it's worth it.
Yep. And I don't know exactly, you know, what if they're just kind of fine-tuning a few things, fixing some stuff, or if they're going to put some new things in there, maybe a few new animals, new characters. I don't know.
Hard to say. I mean, Disney does plus up their rides every once in a while with interesting changes. You know, the Haunted Mansion certainly has seen its update,
yeah.
you know, with the inclusion of, say, the Hatbox Ghost.
Yeah, so this could be some new effects or something. Or maybe, finally, some of the people who find Song of the South so offensive have gotten their fingers into Splash Mountain and something's going to be altered.
No comment.
I hope not, but that's after the redhead thing. I need to shift gears. Let's talk Star Wars.
Let's do.
Now, this...
So, have you heard any Star Wars news this week?
Well, all kinds of it. I mean, my goodness. Okay, so Rian Johnson, who's the writer-director of The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this... When I first saw that, it says he's going to be creator of an all new Star Wars trilogy. Yahoo was reporting that it was not going to be involving the Skywalker's saga at all. So this, I'm figuring, instead of being like, this isn't going to be episodes 10, 11, 12, this is going to be more world of Star Wars, I guess, side films. I don't know what you would want to call these, but a trilogy of films dealing outside of the main saga of something within the Star Wars universe is what this appears to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathleen Kennedy has some nice things to say. She said, "We all loved working with Rian on The Last Jedi, and he's a creative force, and watching him craft The Last Jedi from start to finish was one of the great joys of my career. Rian will do amazing things with the blank canvas of this new trilogy." And that comes directly from StarWars.com.
Mm-hmm. So and there, you know, one thing that they did want to note in this article is that no porgs were available for comment.
Yeah, they'd probably just say something like that. I wish I had one of those talking porgs here, because then I could have gotten an actual comment. We wouldn't have understood it, but I would have translated for you, and they would have said they're pretty excited.
Yes. You know, there's a lot of rumor and speculation as to what this new series could be. You know, a lot of people are hoping that it goes back to the Knights of the Old Republic timeline.
Oh, please.
So, you know, we'll see if we can get some Darth Revan mythology reinstated.
Yeah, but, you know, this might be a completely original idea from Rian Johnson. So, you know, we have no idea. The one thing is that this is kind of odd for me. It's like part of me is excited and part of me is like, wow, you know, this, I'm still adjusting to when I was younger. You know, you had the original Star Wars trilogy, and then later we finally got some prequels. And hey, cool. And we were excited. Now we got sequels. I don't know that I can process, because it seems like such a special and unique thing to have of those original Star Wars films. Now we're so franchised, like we're going to be expecting every year as we have been, and it's been very cool, but I almost feel like it's becoming like a James Bond series where no particular set of those films is really that special. It's just one in a legacy of film and in a franchise and just a money-making machine, which really I guess that's what Disney saw it as when they bought Lucasfilm, is, look, money. So, you know, I'm excited to get more stuff, but I'm worried it's just going to become so franchised that it won't be as meaningful as it was once was. I'm just a little worried, and maybe I'm being a worrywart. Maybe that's just kind of how my attitude's been this week. But I you know, that thought's been in my head.
Well, and I can certainly understand that, and I think James Bond is a good and apt metaphor. Mm-hmm. But if you consider James Bond, you've got your classics of Dr. No, Goldfinger, The Man with the Golden Gun. You've got your Moonrakers and your Never Say Never Agains.
Although that's not an official James Bond movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you've also got your Golden Eyes and Casino Royales, where, you know, everything was flipped back on its head, reinstated, the James Bond movies have also had kind of a singular producer looking down on them. We can see how those have ebbed and flowed. Mm-hmm. So far, the only downsides that we've really seen with Star Wars, aside from the loss of a few directors, is, we'd have to go back to, pre-Disney days with the time of the Ewok movies and the holiday special for downsides.
Yeah. And I know there are some people who do enjoy the holiday special, and well, go ahead and enjoy it then. I tried to watch it. I have tried. I cannot get through it. I just couldn't do it.
Well, we are coming upon Life Day real soon, so the opportunity, thanks to YouTube, is always there.
Yep, and also thanks to Lost Boy Philip, actually at a convention, bought a videotape of the holiday special.
Uh-huh.
And so we have taken that and ran that through to have a digital copy here on my computer, and I still have it. And I've had the thought, I should really try again and watch it. And one of these days I probably will, but I really gotta just prepare myself for half an hour of indescribable Wookiee, what in the world are they doing, saying, and that's creepy. And
It's more than a half hour.
Yeah.
But speaking of Star Wars on TV, okay, so we had those Ewok movies, we had the droids and the Ewok cartoons, we had the holiday special, but you know what? In the last 15 years, here we've had the Clone Wars micro-series. Mm-hmm. We've had Star Wars Clone Wars, which, I'll be honest, the first time I saw anything associated with it, I thought it's just a cash grab, and it turned into what it became.
Yeah, it became awesome after a while.
Exactly. With the introduction of Ahsoka, mm-hmm. with, all of the storylines and the bringing in of mythology. And, and we've got Rebels, which is right now in its fourth season and is really wrapping up the tension, especially as it applies to Lothal. And we're seeing how that planet ties into the rest of the Star Wars mythology. Of course, there were some other Star Wars
we had Forces of Destiny
Control. What's that?
Yeah, we've had like Forces of Destiny, so we've had some other different mm-hmm. things on television and things like that.
Well, and we also had the Underworld series, which was being considered, where it talked about mm-hmm. The bounty hunters and the scum of the universe who weren't rebels.
Yeah, there was even going to be a video game based around that idea that went kaput, unfortunately, because I would have played it. I was pretty excited when I was hearing about that game.
So, with all of the expansion that's going on with Star Wars, why not a new TV series that's not animated?
Right. And this is why I found this to be really comical when I saw this article here from The Hollywood Reporter, because CBS wants to launch their own streaming service of television shows, and they go with Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Which, pretty good. Not a bad way to go. I'm not paying extra money to watch it, unfortunately, because I like Star Wars better than Star Trek, but I do love Star Trek. But
well, I'm not sure what else CBS has to offer to really draw me to their...
Well, maybe the Big Bang Theory. But, you know, that's their exclusive thing is to have Star Trek. So Disney, when they've announced that they're going to have their own streaming service, they come out and say, oh, by the way, you know what's going to be exclusive to our streaming service? A Star Wars series. Boom! And not only that, but a Monsters Incorporated series. There's going to be a High School Musical one, but we don't care about that one. But Monsters Incorporated and Star Wars.
Come on, all that they're saying is that they're all in this together.
Yes, so I wanted to get the streaming service already. I was already excited because the idea of having all of Disney's movies and content and old Disney afternoon shows all on one streaming service, I was like, yes, sign me up. Take my money now. And now, look at this. There's a little paragraph. Let me read this. While this will mark the first live-action Star Wars TV series, George Lucas' franchise has spawned five animated series going all the way back to 1985 Star Wars Droids, which aired on ABC long before ABC and Lucasfilm were under the same corporate umbrella, as in the second series, Star Wars Ewoks. Now, just even mentioning that just makes me think, what if the new Star Wars streaming service has the old Star Wars Droids and Star Wars Ewoks series on there?
No, that would be great. But what would be even better than that is if they also include the Muppet Show. And, of course, we've got the Mark Hamill episode, which featured Luke Skywalker and Chewbacca. And at the very end, they were singing When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yes.
You know, that right there is the ultimate combination of all of the properties Disney has acquired in the past few years.
Yes. And that's
now, if only Spider-Man had swung through.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they ever did anything, you know, because they did have that brief Spider-Man television show, you know, briefly. And then there was the Incredible Hulk series, you know, that would have been kind of cool if they'd have gotten the actor from the Hulk on to Muppet Show. And I can't think of his name. I'm sorry.
Lou Ferrigno?
No, well, that would have been awesome, too.
Or Bill Bixby.
I was thinking, yeah, thinking more Bill Bixby. Either one would have been cool, or even both of them. That had been really cool, and I don't think that ever happened. But, you know, we never did get that Season 4 Muppet DVD collection out.
Seasons 4 and 5, while we're alive.
Please. Because the only way I've gotten to see that Mark Hamill episode is the Time Life collections that they had a long time ago on DVD. I've got a bunch of those, because that has the Mark Hamill episode, but it's not in Seasons 1, 2, or 3 that's been released. So 4 and 5, while we're alive, or stream it over here, and I will be happy to watch the Dickens out of it. I made a Christmas joke. Did you catch that?
Did you catch it? I did. I wasn't Dickens. Ready to move on, but if you
we're
are...
We're not ready to, but I just had that thought when I said it. Like, oh, hey, that's coming up later. I'm clever and ahead of myself.
Oh, there you go, you little Dickens.
Yep.
You know, one thing that's good to know is that, you know, apparently it appears that Disney is going to price this new service much lower than Netflix, which is currently about $11.
Yeah.
So that's definitely good, you know. And they say that they've got a smaller library to justify that smaller price point. Yeah, but I'm thinking, you know, if you get the whole Disney catalog, you get all of these different shows from all of the properties that they've got. You know, let's get the Disney Afternoon on there.
Yes.
Darkwing Duck.
Which
DuckTales. I think
they're going to go for it. You know, all the movies, all the shows. I'm excited.
Gargoyles.
Yes.
You know, let... You know, all of that stuff, all of the live-action ABC shows with Home Improvement and... Oh, I can't even think of everything else that they own.
Yeah, but, oh my goodness, there could be so much.
Yeah, there is so much out there that can be used for this service. And I'm just really excited and looking forward to it. So there's going to be some great stuff. You know, one of the big things that's also been making the rounds about this streaming service is that the Marvel TV series that have been on Netflix are going to be coming over to this platform as well.
Yep.
So, you know, not entirely Disney audience friendly.
Right. Yes.
At least. But, you know, I'm sure we're also going to be seeing... You know, things like the Cloak and Dagger series that's coming to Freeform. You know, I know that the Runaways series is about to premiere on Hulu here within the next couple of weeks.
New Warriors, actually, might be showing New up Warrior. On this because it was going to be on Freeform, but apparently it's now being shopped to other outlets. But this could be on the streaming service.
So yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff that's already out there, a lot of reasons to invite people to come in and check out this service, at least a lot more than a brand new Star Trek series.
Yep, which apparently has been very good and has been renewed. I still haven't even watched that premiere episode. I have it on my DVR, saved in two different ways because it aired weirdly because of football in two different time slots, so I had to do some weird things.
Well, here's one thing about my trip to England. I, of course, had my Netflix account available, and my hotel had Wi-Fi, so I popped on Netflix while I was there, and lo and behold, Netflix has the right to air the new Star Trek Discovery series in the UK.
Wow, so did you get a chance to watch it all?
I watched all six episodes that were available at that time.
What'd you think?
And actually pretty interesting. I'm not willing to go out and get the CBS app at this time, just for that show, but it's got some very interesting concepts and some interesting ways of looking at things. I'm not completely sold on it, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'd still like to watch it, but I'm not going to pay the extra money for a CBS app. CBS doesn't have enough for me. I mean,
right.
If they start working a deal with Netflix in the United States and give me a chance to watch it, I will sit down and watch it. But they'd better do it before that new Disney app comes out, because I will probably shut down that Netflix account when that Disney app comes out. You know, I'll activate it for a month when there's a new Stranger Things series, and then I'll shut down, because really, there hasn't been much on Netflix that I'm really huge that I have to watch, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. I can definitely understand that. But, you know, it's a good time. But, you know, I don't think we're done yet talking about Star Wars yet.
Oh, of course not. There's so much. I'm sure this is going to be very expensive. I don't think I have seen a price tag on this yet. But how much would you be willing to pay anyway just to have even the original Star Wars soundtrack on vinyl? Just the two-disc one. How much would you be willing to pay? Plenty, right?
Oh, yes.
Well, what if I told you there's going to be a 40th anniversary John Williams set, three LPs, and this is going to have those 3D holograms, like for The Force Awakens, you'd spin it, and like I guess a ship or something you could see when you hit the light on it. So there's a hologram disc, and it's a Death Star. Holy
cannoli. I would pay $150 for that.
I'd buy that for a dollar and 150 of them.
It is 150.
It is 150.
Yep, you can pre-order it for $150 right now.
Well, if I had $150 sitting around, I don't.
Again, Patreon.
Yes, Patreon, because, you know, that would at least pay for at least the show to keep going. And I'm sure that lots of great photos in here. There's probably lots of interesting information, which I would gladly read for you on the podcast if there's interesting good stories. Other than what I have in, like, the special edition, I have a pretty good booklet there with some of the music.
Yeah, but this is scheduled to be shipped on the 29th of November. So this is coming up real quickly.
So, you know, we were discussing about getting me something for Christmas, and I've already mentioned that if anyone would like to gift me a Disney trip because they're pushing that, this would make a fantastic Christmas gift for me. Just saying, anybody out there, if you feel like getting me something for Christmas, for all the time I've spent on sharing all this fun with you and making this show, don't you want to get me something for Christmas? Did that sound a little too begging?
No. The thing is, for me, I need to get a new...
We lost him. But he needs something new. I actually have a record player, so I could actually play these things.
And well, there you go.
There he is. What does it say? You were about to say you needed something?
I was just going to say, I need a record player.
Ah. Well, you know, I think the price of record players have been going up lately because it's become a new thing. Vinyl's kind of becoming fashionable. I actually bought one years ago that I found at a... Big Lots, I believe it was. So it was like a discounted thing. And it's not the greatest record player, but it has been fun to go through. And I've got vinyls of like the Peter Pan soundtrack and just all kinds of old vinyl things. You know, the Thrilling Chilling Sounds of the Haunted House, both versions. And by that, I mean like the old original Haunted Mansion one and the one that was released like in the 70s. That's a whole different set of sounds. You know, I've got all kinds of different fun things on vinyl. And so this would be a nice thing to add to my collection. So if you're Christmas shopping for me, keep it in mind.
Well, surely we haven't talked about all of the Star Wars stuff that's out this week yet, have we?
Of course we haven't. This is becoming a Star Wars episode. So see, we didn't get to go to convention, but we're getting to talk Star Wars, and that's, you know, come on.
Even better.
Although, I'm going to ask if I can get a hold of this guy some other fashion, because Barry Poole did tell us that the man who actually designed the Death Star for the film was at this convention. I still really want to talk to him, so I'm going to see if I can make some connections and be able to speak with him, because he needs to get some recognition, because he hasn't really gotten much, because Ralph McQuarrie really gets a lot of the, you know, because he did do some of the original designs and all that artwork, and he definitely deserves his credit. But this guy made the film versions, and so we want to talk to him too, because that's very cool. So that's, I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to make up for the fact that I'm not there.
And if you do, you have to ask him how that hemisphere ended up appearing on the Death Star.
Which hemisphere? What do you mean?
You know, it's, you can see a hemisphere, or you can see an equator line around the hemisphere of the Death Star.
So what is around in that crater, the equator area?
Not so much about what's in there, it's how it came to be. It's an interesting story. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Oh, so okay. There's something you know that you're not sharing.
Exactly.
I didn't know there was a story here.
There is.
Oh my. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll try to get him on, and I'll see what I can do. If I fail to manage to get a hold of the gentleman, then Eric will have to tell us all the story.
I shall proceed to do my best.
Okay. But if you're in a mind to have some fun with Mr. Warwick Davis, Star Wars Galactic Nights is coming. And he's gonna host it. Ta-da! And oh my gosh!
At a Star Wars celebration earlier this year.
Yes, well, Galactic Nights is actually coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios December 16th, the day after Star Wars: The Last Jedi opens.
And so you think they might have available. A thing or two to talk about?
Maybe. But let's see here. There's a listing of the festivities here on StarWars.com, but they're talking Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away, fireworks, Star Wars Galactic Spectacular, one-night-only panel discussion on the future of Star Wars-themed land, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Definitely some new information. Some tunes from a DJ at Center Stage. Now, I wonder if that was... remember there was this guy. He was a big deal for when they do the Star Wars weekends, and he was dressed like Lobot, and he was like DJ Lobot.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if it's him. They haven't said. He's just DJ at Center Stage. I hope it's DJ Lobot, because that's cool. But Darth Vader and a battalion of stormtroopers are going to be marching down Hollywood Boulevard. There's going to be photo opportunities with some Star Wars scenes that you can get in some backdrops, which that's something else we probably missed on here at the Kansas City Comic Con, because there's usually a really fun backdrop you can get a picture of. But, we've gotten to do that before. We were once on Hoth fighting a Tauntaun at Planet Comic Con. So we'll see if we can manage to pull something like that again. Maybe Planet Comic Con will be able to get you down here again. That'll be fun. And of course, there's going to be some projection effects, some encounters with Ewoks, roaming droids, all kinds of fun stuff. Now, I don't know how long this is going on, but all I know is it's starting December 16th.
And they've already announced, and I know we discussed it a few weeks ago, Star Tours is going to be showing scenes from the planet Crate.
Woohoo! Which is the weird red powdery sand or snow or whatever's going on with that. We don't know yet.
Yeah, we'll definitely find out.
Yeah. I'm going to veer onto a side trip, because I've been seeing this picture over here that the StarWars.com, they said they're giving away sets of the Alamo Draft House's awesome Mondo design Star Wars Last Jedi glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have 5 sets to give away, but I'm wondering now, I guess you can just go to the Alamo Draft House. I have one here locally in Kansas City. I don't know how much it costs to see a movie there, but if I can just go in and buy these glasses at some point, I think I would do it. But I just want to talk about these things, because these are awesome.
Yeah, these look really cool. And I noticed that Luke is on the dark side one.
He is, isn't he? Maybe he's also on the light side one, though, because we're only getting to see, like, pictures, you know, and they're not even photos, but you're only getting to see, like, one side of the cup, and one side has, like, Rey and R2.
There's only one side that we're able to see here. So
Well, maybe Luke is the beginning of the Gray Jedi, and I hope he hasn't gone to the dark side. Although, no, I know in some of the comics they did a Dark Empire series where he had gone to the dark side, and it was a very popular story. I never got to read it, but I wonder. So I hope he doesn't go to the dark side, because that's that would stink.
Yeah, most definitely.
Or, you know, they might be just rigging this up just to freak us out, too. So, who knows? But I'm keeping that link open, because I'm going to enter this little contest, I think, later, because I want to. I totally got to have one. There you go. Oh, yes. But let's move on here to the next thing, which we're actually finally going to get outside of the Star Wars realm. This was just a weird thing I found at Chip and Company. That Disney and Pixar is going to offer some free online animation and film classes. And they expect some of the things they're going to teach you, like how to tell a great story, how hair moves, colors are more than just decorating it on one of these little columns. But yeah, color correction and working with colors, that's kind of a big thing that I've actually been working with in my classes, is taking film and tweaking the color to kind of make things pop just the right way and get the right emotional feel of a scene. Mm-hmm. But this, I mean, there's a long list of things they expect Pixar is going to be able to teach you. But I don't see anything. Well, there's a click here for your free no obligation quote. That's for Mickey Travels. I didn't see anything about how you can get yourself enrolled in trying to teach these classes online or something. I found this.
It's on khanacademy.org, and that's just like the Star Trek spelling of Khan. I take that back. Kham. khanacademy.org.
I'm going to hop over there and take a look, because most of this seems to be... there's a travel agent who posted this article up, and she's trying to sell her, mm-hmm. her services.
Oh, and there's actually a link on that page that you were looking at there, Jeremy.
Oh, there was a link. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't see it, but here's, you know, Khan Academy. It says you can learn anything for free for everyone forever. This is a neat little website. It has a thing if you want to learn, if you want to teach something, and you have a thing for parents, you can learn, mm-hmm. all kinds of things here. Computing, algebra.
And there you go. If you scroll up just a little bit, you'll
Pixar
see Pixar in a box.
There it is. Well, hot dog, I am bookmarking this. I don't know that I would ever learn how to animate, because I'm not very good at that, but I want to keep track of it. So I will, mm-hmm. take a look at this later, because, you know, it's good to learn some things anyway. You know, some computer programming could be nice. There's a lot. A lot.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting website, by the way, and it's khanacademy.org.
Yep.
So, wow. Very cool. Very cool. Okay. Well, we're kind of almost in the realm of Star Wars, but not quite now. We've been talking about this all week as soon as it happened. And I don't know if this is going anywhere. But
in fact, last we heard, everything is completely stalled.
21st.
There was a video that started there, but the conversation happened. We don't know if anything will become of it, but 20th Century Fox, it used to be 20th Century Fox, but now they're 21st Century, had a conversation with Walt Disney about selling their film division. Oh my goodness. This could mean the X-Men come back over, the Fantastic Four finally get a decent movie because Marvel Studios would make it. Finally getting ownership of the original Star Wars film.
And we could finally get that theme park attraction for Home Alone.
That actually would be kind of cool.
Or Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, well, Home Alone, I think, would make a more fun ride, really, because you could go through the house and you could do it as a dark ride and have, like, traps going off and, you know, catching the bad guys and getting the wet bandits and stuff. Yeah, I haven't, mm-hmm. watched that movie in a long time. Now I kind of want to watch it. Some great John Williams music in that film.
And it's almost Christmas time.
Yes, it is. And my Pandora Christmas list actually played some Home Alone music, and I was reminded that it is some great John Williams work, and I'm like, I kind of would like to get that soundtrack.
Well, speaking of Pandora, Fox also does Avatar.
Well, it would just make sense then, wouldn't it, for Disney to acquire that and actually have ownership, mm-hmm. and then James Cameron wants to make, what, 4 more films?
Yeah.
Avatar,
yeah.
You know, Disney could get it done. I don't know that anybody's that interested in watching them. I actually had a writer this week that we were talking about this, that how Disney is really good at making things you didn't know you wanted, sort of like the Land of Pandora. A great attraction, apparently. Really great. But even people who have been going to that say they weren't fans of the film. And right. Even the writer I had with them said they hated that movie. And I've heard a lot of people hated that movie. But you darn sure would go and see a land of it when it's this good. I, you know, because I'm even interested in going to see the land, and I've never cared to watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a whole other thing. Okay, one last story that I don't really have an opinion on either way. I just noticed this started some controversy from the LA Times. They questioned if Disney is actually paying its fair share in Anaheim because there's all this backdoor things of with different politicians where Disney has worked out a pretty good deal on how much of a tax rate they're actually paying, and how, like, the city of Anaheim, I guess, has been footing the bill for some of the parking. I don't know all the details. It's all this complicated stuff that I didn't feel like reading in on. Because I don't find this to be that interesting. But what's been interesting about this is with LA Times questioning, Disney has told the LA Times, okay, you know what? You can't review our movies anymore. We're not going to allow you into the screening. And people have been, there's been people upset saying, oh my gosh, they're blocking out media and stuff like that. And oh gosh. This, I just wanted to bring it up because this has become a weird thing. Whether or not you think Disney's paying enough in the area, or if having Disney there and bringing a lot of money into their economy in Anaheim, whether that's worth it, you know, that's above my pay grade. That's nothing I really worry about. I don't live in Anaheim. Don't know. And it's a long article in the LA Times if you really wanted to look at it and read it and go through the whole thing. But I just wanted to at least mention that it's been very interesting how Disney has decided, okay, well, all these different media outlets that are criticizing us now, we're just not going to let you in to review our movies anymore. And whether that's right or not, I'm not going to comment on. But it's been very interesting how this has been going on.
Oh, definitely. And Disney has since walked back their, blocking of the LA Times from reviewing their films. But it'll be interesting come award season to see how this affects any of Disney's chances for any major film awards this year.
Yeah, which personally, I'm not that fussed on all the film awards. It's people giving themselves a pat on the back, really, anymore. Mm-hmm. And I have not enjoyed watching the Oscars. I haven't watched the Oscars since The Lord of the Rings, and I only watched because I wanted to see it get Best Picture, which all three films really deserved. But all three were nominated, but they only gave it to Return of the King. And I think that was almost like saying, well, we don't want to give it to you for the next 3 years. But at the end of the Return of the King, they were like, here is the Best Picture Award for Return of the King, the kind of means for all three of these films, because they were fantastic films. And then how'd The Hobbit not go as well? I don't know. Well, I know how. I mean, it's because you took a short book and extended it into three-hour movies, and that was a bad idea. But yeah, we've already discussed that in length on the show. So, yep. Any other comment we want to have on that before we just move on? Because I don't really want to dwell on it that long. Okay, well, then it's time to go to the trailer park.
Mama! Now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him off. Oh. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
The trailer park, I didn't know this movie was coming.
I've seen this trailer a few weeks ago, and I'm glad that we're taking a look at it today.
Yeah, I have not seen the trailer until it was here online, but I saw the poster of it when I was going to Thor. And it looked very interesting, and I can tie this over back to Disney, even though it's not being made by Disney, because Disney has done a version of The Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey, which I actually really enjoy. I haven't watched it since I saw it in 3D in the theaters. I do have a Blu-ray of it, I think, though. I need to watch that one again. I actually really enjoyed it. So there's a Christmas Carol connection. Also, though, you have Dan Stevens, am I getting the name right, who played the Beast in the live action that you didn't like, but it was okay. It was pretty good. But see, Disney connection, it's there. But anyways, let's take a listen to this. I don't know that I really am a fan of the title of the film, but the title is The Man Who Invented Christmas.
God bless us, everyone.
folly.
Humbug.
So he's had a couple of flops. Well, who hasn't?
You have a new book in mind?
Oh, of course he does.
My lamp's gone out. I've run out of ideas.
Are we in trouble?
No, of course not.
I have told you not to disturb me when I am working.
On Christmas Eve, the spirits pour into the night.
Look here, Mr. Davidson. Pickpockets, streetwalkers, humbug. Those people don't belong in books.
Charles!
Humbug! It's about a miser, and on Christmas Eve, he meets some kind of supernatural guides.
Does it have a title?
Humbug, a Miser's Lament.
Christmas ghost story, Christmas song.
Christmas ballad, something like that. Get the name right and the character will appear.
Scratch. Scrounger.
Come on.
Scrooge.
Shut the window. You think I'm made of money?
Mr. Scrooge, how delightful to meet you, sir.
Sorry, I can't say the same.
You and I are going to do wonderful things together.
How do you think a world come alive? I can almost see and hear them, people.
Even if you'd already written it, we couldn't possibly get it printed and distributed in only 6 weeks.
If I can't finish it, I'll never write again. The characters won't do what I want.
I'm the author here.
Allegedly.
A jolly ghost. What's that mean? In the season of hope, we will shut out nothing and everyone will be welcome. I have to get to the princess by 9 o'clock.
But you still don't have an ending.
Merry, merry Christmas to one and all.
Merry Christmas!
That's enough. Back to work.
God bless us, everyone.
So this is coming to theaters November 22nd, and it's a fanciful, somewhat based off of the truth, but it definitely is more movie and entertainment than it is truth. But this is Charles Dickens writing A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And Christopher Plummer as Scrooge. How fun is that?
Oh, yeah. That should be really good. And hey, here's another tie back. Christopher Plummer was in Star Trek VI.
I see. Yeah, I don't remember him being in there. I haven't seen it in a long time. But, you know, Christopher Plummer, you know, The Sound of Music with, I don't know, this one actress who became Mary Poppins. You may have heard of her before, Julie Andrews. I don't know. So, maybe a little bit of a connection there. But so this basically is showing where Charles Dickens, he's coming up with these characters. They appear in the room with him. And so he interacts with his characters as he's coming up with this story, which is a delightfully fun idea, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think, we're going to see a little bit more of, Charles Dickens experiencing his own Christmas Carol here with the inclusion of these characters. But I really like the way that it makes these characters, just kind of come out of the ether as he creates them and thinks of them. And I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this, but they coalesce around these ideas as he creates them.
Yes. So this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll be a way to tell the story of A Christmas Carol, but also telling the story of Charles Dickens. So you get this nice, weird mishmash of things, and it looks delightfully fun and enjoyable. And like I said, it's November 22nd is this coming out, and heck, you even got Mickey's Christmas Carol to get your nice little tie in there. So this really looks like fun.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, I know you were a little concerned about him being an inventor of Christmas, but, at the time that Dickens wrote this story, Christmas really was becoming more of a bygone thing in Victorian England.
And they had some weird practices for celebrating it, too.
Oh, yeah, but certainly by, creating this story and, kind of cementing the idea of what Christmas was as a nostalgic thing for them, it did help revitalize Christmas as a tradition and, in many ways has led to the Christmas that we celebrate today.
Yeah, so, but he helped Christmas come back to us, but I wouldn't call it an invention because, you know, Christmas had more meaning than just a guy who wrote a book.
Right.
But I ain't going to preach here. I might do it on one of my radio shows where I actually do play some Christian rock and metal. If you're down, if you have not yet downloaded the UCM The Beat app, so you can listen to my Disney show at 4 o'clock Central every day, you know, the good encouragement. You can hear me rant. I might rant on it. Who knows? But probably not. I'm not going to rant, but I am going to go. And when we get close to Christmas, I'm going to talk about some Christmas stuff here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play some Christmas music on my Disney show, too. I just got to find some Disney created Christmas songs because I know there should be some stuff out there. I need to go and get some copies of it that I can play. So I'm working on that. But yeah, I just derailed myself. So the title isn't great, but you at least get the idea. And as you were saying, you know, this is help bring Christmas back and make it special. And this is a story we're all very familiar with. So, you know, doing a different take on A Christmas Carol is really a good idea. That way we're not gonna like, oh, look, yeah, we know what happens in this story again, you know. Mm-hmm. Making it fresh. Although, you know what? I don't get tired of all the versions that I love. I mean, the musical Scrooge with Albert Finney and Alec Guinness as Jacob Marley. I love watching that every year. Mickey's Christmas Carol, I'll probably watch multiple times. So, you know, it's a great story. I just don't get tired of it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I had a whole field of content to talk about in the main feature, but we've gone nearly an hour. But you know what? Because I didn't go to the convention, let's just go for it. Nobody's bored here, right? Right? We're ready to go on for another hour, half hour at least, right? Sure.
All right.
All right. Well, I didn't have anything. Oh, wait. Here, let's play this one.
To Disney and beyond.
There we go. That's more of a transitional thing. What I really wanted to kind of talk about for some of our main content is that, well, if you were planning to go to the parks for Christmas, there is a lot of information that I managed to dig around and find that I thought it would be good to share with everybody. But now this is also where I believe some of my I've got some stuff from Oh My Disney, but I also found stuff from The Inquisitor, and I mentioned earlier that I don't always necessarily trust everything I get from The Inquisitor. Because they did have, I don't know where they're getting it, that Splash Mountain's closing in January. But they have a picture of, I guess this is a the map.
Yeah, the park map that's given out at the turnstiles every day.
Mm-hmm. And it has, maybe I can zoom this in a little bit here. No. But I can barely read the images. But it has all the details of the Christmas party and I guess we can just kind of go through and look at what Inquisitor has listed. They have some times down and things like that. I bet, you know, let me go take a look over here at the Oh My Disney where I'd originally saw all this. They have a lot of different information, a lot of great photos on Oh My Disney. But do they have a schedule? No, they don't really have a schedule. So let's just go. All this Inquisitor information should be pretty accurate because they were looking at this map. And as long as this map is legitimate, then we're good.
Yeah, and all of this is applicable to the Magic Kingdom out in Florida rather than Disneyland.
Oh, I thought this was the Disneyland schedule. Let me see here.
Nope. That's the Magic Kingdom schedule.
Well, that's okay. If you're planning to go to the Magic Kingdom, we've got you covered. So there we have a listing here that I guess what they're trying to list is some of the characters you can meet. Although I guess they don't have anything official for the Very Merry Christmas Party out yet, but they do have at least some of the things that you can see while you're there during Christmas time. Like at Main Street USA, you can meet Santa Claus and Mickey Mouse. Tomorrowland will have Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps. Liberty Square, well, you'll find Sandy Claus. You know what I mean? Frontierland, the Country Bears are going to be wandering around. In Adventureland, Aladdin, the Genie, and Jasmine and Abu will be in Agrabah. Moana is expected to be near the Swiss Family Treehouse and the Jingle Cruise. Jack Sparrow will be wandering around the Pirates of the Caribbean and Peter Pan. In Fantasyland, Ariel and Prince Eric is supposed to be out there. Cinderella and Prince Charming. Princess Aurora and Prince Philip. Snow White and the Prince. Elena of Avalor. Princess Tiana and Naveen. Belle. Beast is going to be inside the Be Our Guest restaurant for dinner reservations. Rapunzel and Flynn, Winnie the Pooh and Friends, Mary Poppins and Bert are going to be in front of the Mickey's PhilharMagic. And over by Storybook Circus, you're going to find Santa, Goofy, Minnie Mouse, Daisy Duck, Scrooge McDuck, Yes, I said Scrooge McDuck. Donald Duck, and of course the Seven Dwarves over by Pete's Sideshow. These characters are going to appear before 7 p.m.
Yeah, this has got me wondering, though, are they going to update Scrooge McDuck to his new DuckTales 2017 look, or are they going to stick with the old DuckTales version of Scrooge?
Or will he look like Mickey's Christmas Carol Scrooge?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a few different options available.
Yes, there is. Either way, if I was down there, I'd want a picture with Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. All right.
So. Yes.
Okay.
I was just going to say.
Go ahead.
Speaking of pictures, you know, one place that's constantly been revising its photo spot lately has been Cars Land out in California Adventure. You know, this last year, with the inclusion of Halloween, they've had a scarecrow car sitting out by the sign. And as they transition into Christmas time, they're going to have their snow car out in front.
Oh. So instead of a snowman, it's a snow car.
Exactly. Now, Cars Land has had its conversion to Christmas, you know, come across the last several years. But this year, there's going to be a couple of new additions. They're going to have new music at Luigi's Rock and Roadsters, which is going to become Luigi's Joy to the World. And then Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. You know, for Halloween, I know we discussed that they had some new music playing.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to have some holiday tunes over at Mater's Jingle Jamboree this year as well.
Oh, how fun. And over at the Oh My Disney, there's a picture of the snow car down mm-hmm. in front. It's got a traffic cone instead of a carrot nose.
Mm-hmm.
That is adorable. I love it.
And, you know, I love all the decorations that are in Cars Land because they're all automotive themed. You've got snowflakes that are made out of wrenches, wreaths that are made out of tires. You've got hubcaps as decorations on the trees. Yeah, they really make it very well themed there.
Yeah, so there's definitely lots to do in Disneyland Resort, and it's actually started the 10th, and yep. It's going to be running until January 7th. And on the Oh My Disney, there's some really great pictures of Cars Land, also a beautiful photo of Main Street with a giant tree out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so much to do because you've got Believe in Holiday Magic fireworks, Christmas Fantasy Parade, Small World Holiday, and of course the Haunted Mansion Holiday is all going on. And of course they brought back Viva Navidad and the World of Color Season of Light over in Disney California Adventure.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, yeah, plenty of stuff to do at Disneyland. And I got a lot of scheduled things even over here. For Walt Disney World, if you're going to the Magic Kingdom, there's the Frozen Holiday Wish, which is at 6:15 p.m., and there's a second time for all the party guests at 8:15. I do not know exactly what this is. I guess, is this where they're going to light the castle up with Elsa?
I believe so.
Yeah. And then you have Mickey's Once Upon a Time Christmas Parade. It's going to be at 8:30 and 11, starting in Frontierland. It'll run to Main Street. You got Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration on the Cinderella stage at 7:40, 9:25, 10:30, and 11:55. Holiday Wishes will be at 10. The Reindeer Wranglers, which is a musical act in Frontierland, is going to be at 7:15, 8:05, 9:30, 10:30, and 11:45. And something called Voice Plays on Tomorrowland at 8:10, 9 o'clock, 10:20, and 11:10. And of course, there's going to be all kinds of different treats. I think I pulled up a list of food here. If you will jump over and take a look at some of that and read that off for us. Because I think is some stuff I found. Well, yeah, this is for the Viva Navidad. There's a listing of some different sweets here I found on the Disney Parks blog.
Mm-hmm. And this, again, is over at California Adventure. They are going to have a chicken liver pate with cherry jam and pistachios. Cranberry pear tart with rosemary infused cream, white chocolate dipped lichenberry speculoos cookie. Ooh, I suddenly want to go to IKEA now. some chorizo queso fundido with house-made tortilla chips.
Now I am sidetracked here for a second here. Chicken liver pate with cherry jam and pistachios. Ooh.
You know, some people enjoy it.
Ew.
You know, why don't we You know, with a few of these options, you know, if you want to go down a little bit on that page, you know, of course they've got some different spirits that are being offered, but you know, they do have some pretty succulent and savory dishes available. There's going to be a seared salmon fillet with lemon caper sauce.
That sounds good.
Beef short rib with mashed potatoes and gravy, topped with cranberry sauce. Sticky toffee pudding with brandied vanilla sauce. Conundrum white wine blend from California and Rodney Strong Pinot Noir from the Russian River Valley. There's going to be a holiday eggnog cocktail with whipped cream and nutmeg, as well as apple lemonade with whipped cream and caramel.
Now, I'm down for the holiday eggnog. I just don't know about the cocktail because I don't drink alcohol.
Yeah, me too. Although I am quite happy that eggnog has finally appeared in the stores for the season.
Yes. they got it started in October, so I've been getting what I can because they have the Halloween nog, and also I like to get a stuff called milk nog because it's a bit diluted, and that way I can dilute it a little further with milk, and it lowers my sugar content, so I can still have some as a diabetic and not over-sugar myself. And I know that you can get some eggnog in the parks that is non-alcoholic. I know some friends of mine, you know, Lost Boy Philip and his family, it was a thing that they really wanted to do is sit around after the fireworks and everything. And so they sat on Main Street together and all had some eggnog. And it was a very special memory for them because his father was had cancer at the time. And that was the last big thing they all got to do together before he passed away. So they have great memories. I have video of it that I've got a copy of the, you know, I helped them put together a DVD of all of it. But to me, so eggnog at Disneyland is going to hold a special place kind of for me, because I'm going to think about having the nice family tradition to sit around together and drinking eggnog on Main Street. Just sounds really nice. So yeah, that's where I'm going with that. But a few things though over here that we said were happening at the Magic Kingdom for food. Cosmic Ray Starlight Cafe is going to have snickerdoodle cookies and hot chocolate. Oh yes, they've got me there. Snickerdoodles, and I love snickerdoodles. It's like the greatest cookie, and some hot chocolate. If they give me some eggnog with my snickerdoodles and my hot chocolate, oh yes, I will sugar die right there. Anti-Gravity Galactic Goodies is going to have Santa Claus cookie and a snow cone. Over in Fantasyland at the Friar's Nook, there's going to be some silky smooth Dove chocolate and sparkling apple cider. Sounds delicious. Pinocchio's Village House is going to have a selection of cookies and hot chocolate and some apple cider. The Storybook Circus is going to have Pete's Silly Sideshow with Peppermint Crunch Cookie and Nesquik Chocolate Milk. Nesquik! Didn't they used to have like a sponsored thing from Nesquik in the Disney parks or something?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think there was something.
Well, I do know that all of the flavored milk that is sold on property is Nesquik.
Well, there you go. Adventureland at the Tortuga Tavern, you're going to find some snowman soft pretzels and a snow cone. And over at Liberty Square at the ticket office, you're going to find ginger molasses cookie and some eggnog. Oh, there's also a whole lot of other different, there's some table service and stuff going to be going on during the very Merry Christmas party over a lot of the other different restaurants. Take note, though, that some of them close at 8, some close at 9, some close at 10, some close at 11. There's different things going on. But at the Main Street Bakery, there's a special holiday treats available for purchase like peppermint cupcake, holiday cinnamon roll, and a Yule log. So there are some definite places that you can go and check out and get some regular type of food. One thing, there is an exception of what's going to be open is the Hall of Presidents is currently closed for refurbishment.
Still.
And Mickey's PhilharMagic is not going to be open during the party, and Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor will be closing at 10. But a lot of the dates, they're actually saying that some of these dates are already sold. The first date of it, at least, is already sold out. So this was a while ago, I guess, that this article was put up, because this has now been up and running. If you're planning to go, you might want to jump on it fast, because it's probably selling out some of these other nights, too. So jump on it. All right. We got some other foods going on in Disneyland. You want to mention anything else that looks fun?
Oh, goodness. There's some holiday sliders, some with ham, some with turkey, that look really good, that are going to be available over in California Adventure. Let's see, there's going to be a snowman cookie decorating kit.
Oh, fun.
They're going to have white hot chocolate. And because California Adventure is presenting Viva Navidad, a lot of the options that they're offering are our Mexican specialties, like street tacos and chicken mole and burritos and tortas al pastor, house-made pozole, buñuelos, quesadillas. So a lot of good spicy seasonal offerings are going to be available there.
Yeah, and I'm kind of getting hungry looking at some of these. Like this buñuelos, that's two golden fried flour tortillas dusted with cinnamon sugar and served with a side of cajeta. I don't know what cajeta is, but it sounds good with the cinnamon and sugar already.
Oh, yeah, those are really good.
Oh, and the burrito is going to have some black beans, lime cilantro, rice, carne asada, carnitas, or chicken with salsa. Wow, I want to eat some of this now. That sounds good.
Oh, and I'm definitely in a good Mexican mood. I found a great little burrito shop in Liverpool that just put anything that I've had here in Phoenix to shame.
Ooh.
So I'm really looking for some good Mexican.
Yeah, and if you have got any Qdobas near you, by the way, Qdoba is awesome. So speaking of some sweets that you can't quite eat, there's some pictures on the Disney Park blog of course, the gingerbread displays that are a favorite at the Walt Disney World Resort. And you can find over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, there's the Tusker House restaurant. It's going to have a 3-foot long African inspired gingerbread marketplace that's going to be on display from December 10th to January 2nd. So it's not there yet. And that was created by pastry chef Amber Vaca. Epcot pastry chefs Noah French and Jason Stricker and Crystal Saunders are putting together two gingerbread displays at the American Adventure that's going to feature the United States Capitol building as well as the Lincoln Memorial. That's going to be out from November 19th. And oh my gosh, 50 pounds of gingerbread. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's a lot of gingerbread, because gingerbread is light, but wow. Okay, Black Friday, though, November 24th, pastry chefs Yoli Lazo and Joseph Lodato from Disney Springs, they're going to have a set of gingerbread icons that's going to be the story behind the town center, which I guess is something new for Disney Springs. And this is going to be in the window of Amorette's Patisserie, and you can actually enjoy some treats while you're shopping over there. And if you're going to go around the resorts, November 9th on the fourth floor of Disney's Contemporary Resort, you're going to find a Cinderella Castle designed by Chef Jeff Barnes. Not to be confused with Dr. Jeff Barnes, who wrote The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. This is a pastry chef. He's got a team, and it's really kind of getting they've got a Mary Blair backdrop inspired small world thing going on. Also, this is going to be the 18th year of the Holiday Carousel, which is a life size edible spinning carousel, but you're not allowed to eat it. Apparently, this is a tradition at the Disney Beach Club Resort. This was designed by pastry chefs Thomas Hubner, Jennifer Ledisky, and Cindy Roman.
And so you can go check that out after seeing Yeehaw Bob.
There you go. There's even a Lilo and Stitch themed carousel. Well, I guess this is the carousel. It's Lilo and Stitch themes. And they said there's 18 hidden Mickeys on this thing. And a limited edition pin featuring Lilo and Stitch is going to be available for purchase starting on November 17th at the Beach Club Marketplace. Right next door to Z's Yacht Club Resorts is also going to be a holiday miniature train, which that's starting on November 17th. And I like to look at miniature trains around Christmas time. There's a place down here in Kansas City in Union Station that you can see all kinds of miniature trains and the Christmas displays. And they have superheroes in some areas. And they have some Disney-style themed displays where some Disney princesses are around. I don't think I've ever posted any of the photos to the website, but I probably should. If I go out this year, I'll try to take some really good photos and I'll post them.
Well, you know, there is a grand finale to all of these displays.
There is.
Yep, and that's going to be found at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, which is going to be celebrating the 19th anniversary of its life-size gingerbread house. It's going to be found in the main lobby of the resort from November 15th through January 1st. Now, each year, the pastry team, which is led by executive pastry chef Eric Herbicek, spends over 400 hours baking the gingerbread and over 160 hours constructing and decorating the house, which also contains the bake shop.
Cool.
Now, you'll find gingerbread ornaments, cookies, and gingerbread house kits, which are all made using a classic gingerbread recipe that came from Austria. They're also going to have a pin trading event on the 18th of November. That pin's going to feature the Penguins for Mary Poppins. They're also going to have gingerbread house decorating demos, which are going to be conducted daily in front of the display beginning on December 1st.
Wow. You know what? We actually have a gingerbread house that we've had here that we've just never put together. I wonder if they would inspire me to actually get the job done.
Perhaps.
Because I think I need it. I need somebody to kick me in the pants and say, make it, for crying out loud. Make it. Mm-hmm. So, my goodness. So, I'm not going to be able to get out to any of the parks. Let's be honest. I'm not going to make it out there. I'm not going to get to see any of this. So I actually have a few things that I can do while I'm here at home trying to enjoy my somewhat Disney-themed holiday. So there's going to be the Disney Parks Presents a Disney Channel Holiday Celebration. This is going to be on the Disney Now app, which I should probably download. I don't have that yet. This is beginning on Friday, November 24th. If you sign up to the app and you have a pay TV subscription, you're going to actually get to see it before it premieres on the Disney Channel on Friday, December 1st. I guess I can just wait for the Disney Channel. Friday is December 1st. This is going to be Raven Simone and Isaac Ryan Brown from Raven's Home. I'm not that worried about it, but of course it's something going on from Disney, so I will want to check it out. And there are also going to be performances from Descendants 2 stars like Duff Cameron and Sophia Carson, Andy Mack star Asher Angel, and stars the upcoming Disney Channel original movie Zombies, Milo Manheim and Meg Donnelly. Personally, I'm not that interested in hearing any of these people perform.
But would you be interested in taking a tour of Toy Story Land?
Yes, I would.
Well, it's a good thing because Boo Boo Stewart, who's also in Descendants 2, is going to be taking viewers around and showing the progress going on there in that special.
Now, see, that's something I could get behind and be super excited about. So, see, that's the thing, is that they get some stuff that I'd be interested in and mix it with some stuff that I really don't care about and put it together to make me watch it anyway.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yay!
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.